This is Margaret Cho, and you're listening to The Bicast, podcasting for the bisexual community.
You put the B in LGBT. You put the B in LGBT.
Welcome to the Bicast, podcasting for the bisexual plus community. This is Elizabeth Meacham with Amy Leibowitz. Today we speak with Jan Steckel, who has a new book of poetry out. It's called Like Flesh Covers Bone. Welcome, Jan.
Thank you, Elizabeth. So how about you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background, Jan?
Sure, Amy. I wanted to start with how happy I am to be here today and grateful to be with you both. I'm a 56-year-old bisexual Jewish American woman with a disability. I was a pediatrician, but I had to leave medical practice in 2001 because of chronic pain. I work from home as a medical copy editor, and I write and publish poetry, fiction, and creative nonfiction. My last poetry book, The Horizontal Poet, won a Lambda Literary Award for bisexual nonfiction because there was no bisexual poetry category. And my new poetry book, Like Flesh Covers Bone, is nominated for a Lambda Literary Award and a Bisexual Books Award in the category of bisexual poetry, because the Lammies have a new category now for bisexual poetry. And I realized I was bi the summer I turned 18. For a long time, I was an activist for LGBT rights. But in the last 15 or 20 years, I've concentrated more on activism for the bisexual community specifically.
Well, how did you get into publishing poetry?
Well, I majored in fiction writing as an undergraduate, but through the years, I published some poems as well as some fiction in journals. And then I went to a poetry reading in Berkeley around 2002 and happened to sit next to Julia Vinograd, who is known as Berkeley's Bubble Lady. And I had been reading her very fine poetry in The Street Spirit, a newspaper sold by homeless people in Berkeley. And after I read my poetry at the open mic, Julia told me I was a poet and encouraged me. And eventually, she asked for a chapbook and edited my first chapbook and sent it to her publisher, Bruce Isaacson of Zeitgeist Press, who also became my publisher.
Well, Julia was right. You are a good poet.
Oh, thank you. I was very lucky to find a mentor.
Tell me what did you call it, a chapbook?
Yeah, a chapbook is a small, inexpensively produced book of about maybe 24 pages that poets often produce first to get their work out there and then later do a full-length book.
Oh, okay. So do they do that with prose too, or just poetry?
Yeah, they do.
I have done a chapbook of prose, actually. It was published by Gertrude Press, an LGBT press. It won their chapbook award, and it was called Mixing Tracks.
Oh, okay. See, I never tried to publish anything, so...
Go for a chapbook. There are a lot of chapbook contests out there. Most of them are for poetry, but there are some for prose, and in particular, I recommend the Gertrude Press chapbook contest.
There are plenty of our listeners in the same boat, so this is good information. Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
So that was really interesting. So you were a pediatrician, but you also studied, what did you say you studied as undergrad?
Oh, I was a creative writing major at Harvard, and it was within the English department. It was a small department, and but I was sort of a closet pre-med at the same time, and then I spent 6 years in the Peace Corps and working in a neuroscience lab, and then went back to school, went to medical school, and became a pediatrician.
Wow, that's just really interesting. That's because I see that a lot with writers, that, you know, people have a second career, or that's their first career, and then they do something different. So this is very interesting to me.
Yeah, we all have several careers these days, you know, sequentially.
It does seem that way. So who are your influences or your favorite authors and poets?
Well, my biggest mentor and biggest poetic influence was Julia Vinograd, who died of cancer in December. And modern poets that I particularly like include Sharon Olds, Yehuda Amichai, Amit Majmudar, who is also a physician, and Seamus Haney, who was at Harvard when I was there. But some modern bi poets whose work I particularly like include Anne Tweedy, Jeline Tripp Weaver, Walter Wolf, and Kathleen Chambliss. The truth, though, is that a lot of the time I would rather read a good novel than a book of poetry. I read a lot of literary fiction, historical fiction, sci-fi, and fantasy. Favorites for literary fiction who I think handle gender and sexuality in interesting ways include Jeanette Winterson, Rabih Alameddine, and for historical fiction, I like Gore Vidal, Mary Renault, a local Bay Area writer from Latin America named Carolina de Robertes, and a new trans writer named Jordi Rosenberg. For sci-fi, people that I think handle gender and sexuality well are N.K. Jemisin, who just won a bunch of Hugo Awards, David Mitchell, Anne Leckie, and the bi writer Marianne Mohanraj. And for fantasy, I like Ursula Le Guin, Catherine Valente, and the bi writer Corinne Duvis. I'm not sure how she pronounces her name, but it's spelled D-U-Y-V-I-S.
Wow, that's quite a list there.
Do you have any favorites in your new volume that you'd like to read today?
Thank you. Yes, I picked out five that I thought would be fun for bi listeners. The first is By Torrent. The phlebotomist drew my blood. Instead of dark arterial crimson, outflowed hues I'd dyed my hair, cobalt, violet, fuchsia, bicolors shimmering like a switch hitting hummingbird's throat, widening from vein to river deep enough to drown an army of lovers.
Wow.
And then the next poem that I have to read, thank you, is kind of about bi and trans youth at risk. And it also has to do with the fact that many of us have trans lovers, and that bi does not mean two in the sense of loving only men and women. The title of this poem is First Girl I Kissed, but the first girl I kissed is now a man. The poem is First Girl I Kissed. You lured me to the squat that you shared with that old man, only middle-aged as I am now. TV on, him in the Lazy Boy, just one room divided by a bookcase. We huddled on the other side. He can't see through, you whispered. He could, though. I saw him seeing. You dug out a slightly crushed joint, shared it as promised, wound your hand in my neck nape's hair, nibbled my throat. Pot swept me into you, your soft lips, little whimpers. I feared I'd get you thrown onto the street again, until it dawned on me, he wasn't letting you bring me home. You were letting him watch you bring me off.
Well, that one's disturbing to me. It's good.
It is disturbing because a lot of, you know, bi and trans youth end up on the streets and end up having to trade sex sometimes for a place to stay. And one thing I loved about my mentor, Julia Vinograd, was that she saw those kids. She saw the kids on the street, and she sort of took them under her wing and wrote about the experiences of people on the street and made them accessible to the rest of us who are housed.
Wow. I've got to find her work.
You can find her work at the same press you can find my work. It's Zeitgeist Press, and the URL is www.zeitgeist, which is spelled Zeitgeist-press.com. And you can look up her work or my work by author or title.
Okay. Well, yeah. I've got to do this. Okay.
Thank you. And then you, Elizabeth, had asked for this poem, Revelation. You wore a micro mini skirt the day I asked you to cut back the calla lilies. A chubby 9-year-old girl biked up and down the sidewalk, up and down, up and down. You bent over to clip a flower. The bike stopped short, and in that glimpse of heaven, a baby dyke was born.
And that just made me laugh.
I'm glad. That was a fun moment.
Yeah, serious poems in there. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of all this seriousness, I just laughed. And it,
hey, good. The poem did its job.
Yeah.
And this one, yeah, go ahead.
It felt like it could go either way to me. Like either mm-hmm. she saw a man bending over and decided, yeah, I think I'm gay now.
I never thought of that interpretation. That's funny.
Anyway. Okay, go ahead.
So this one's called Ode to a Diminutive Harley or Horse. I dated a woman with eyebrow rings. She had a Harley, but it was a very small Harley, riding pillion behind her. I had to hold my knees against my chest to keep my feet from scraping the Bay Bridge. On Hispaniola, I dated a man with a horse, but it was a very small horse. He took offense when I called it a pony, insisted it was a horse. Some species get smaller on islands, so perhaps it was a pygmy horse, like the family of hobbits whose 3-foot skeletons they found in a cave on that Indonesian atoll. I want a woman with a real Harley, or a man with a real horse, not a dyke on a Vespa or a yeshiva bocher on an Eohippus. Twilight approaches. Though once I rode my motorcycle through a hurricane, my horseback motorbike days will never come back to me. A poem in my book about riding at night with no lights is not a motorcycle between the thighs, any more than a poem about an urn can be hurled like an urn. If you throw a poem against a wall, paper just flutters. I want the crash, the shards.
That one was good, too.
Thank you. Yeah, the Hispaniola is the name for the Dominican Republic, where I was in the Peace Corps when I was young. And then I'm going to finish with one about being a bi elder, because when I hit 50, people, I defined bi elder as anyone over 50, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm an elder, and I thought that was so funny.
Yeah.
Bi babes in the woods. What did we know? We thought we'd just be ogling together, people of all genders all the time, painting ambiguous genitalia in fuchsia, purple, and turquoise on the bedroom wall, marching in our Bitch magazine and Lesbian Avenger t-shirts, reading Alison Bechdel and Marianne Mohanraj till our baby bi eyelids drooped. We'd cuddle up like futon puppies, draw the shades on the 4th of July, watch Nosferatu while heteronormatives held sunshiny bake-offs and cookouts. We'd read our horror stories, homo poems, sexual histories of the garden snail, at Perverts Put Out, Smack Dab, Queer Open Mic, The New Shit Show, The Godless Perverts Story Hour. We never dreamed in our wildest sparkly bi nightmares we'd end up with long-term health care insurance, forgetful parents tumbling downstairs, earthquake retrofits, a trail of dead friends, arguing on Tumblr with 20-something gender and sexuality police over whether bisexuals loved only two genders while pansexuals only fucked pans. And I'm all about the bi-pan solidarity. I think we have a lot in common.
I don't know about you, Amy. I think you're around my age. When I first got into the BiNet USA and everything, somebody told me, you should join the bi-elders group. I'm like, but I'm only 43. Okay.
It's just like dog years.
Well, it's just when your age hits you in your face like that. Yeah. Thanks. But you know, all that stuff is in the poem. I can relate to a lot of it. Not earthquake retrofits, although.
Oh yeah.
Stuff around here, maybe. But we think we're going to be young forever and badass. people.
Yeah.
But we can still be badass in our own way.
It's the time when you become like Lynn and become a leader and a mentor, and you can help mentor other people, and I'm kind of enjoying it.
Yeah. I think when I was online, I think last week, somebody posted something on Twitter about, isn't it great that older bi people have sex? People over 40 are great. What? First reaction is, don't you think old people have sex? Your parents are having sex. Get over it.
Oh, it only gets better.
40 gets to be old. So.
Well, you know, unless they're looking at you because they think, wow, you know, I do know a few younger 20-somethings who just think that you reach 40 and then all of a sudden you're hotness embodied, which yeah. I also find
Ooh.
Really awkward.
You don't like to be fetishized.
Yeah.
Not,
come on. Nobody's looked at me like that. 30, maybe, but anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, So do you have any upcoming works that you want to tell us about?
Well, right now I have Like Flesh. I'm busy promoting Like Flesh Covers Bone, which is a full-length poetry collection that's been nominated for several awards and is available on the Zeitgeist Press website. So if you Google Zeitgeist Press, you can find it there and order it there. I've also just finished a collection of short stories called Ghosts and Oceans, and a poetry chapbook called Stripper Style, which I'm starting to shop around. And I'm also collaborating with a physicist friend of mine on some bi sci-fi stories that may eventually coalesce into a novel in stories.
Oh, wow. That'll be cool.
Excellent.
I love sci-fi.
Yeah, that's fun. I'm having fun with that.
You know, I was going to ask, how did you end up getting into this particular publisher? Because we were talking beforehand about small presses and stuff, so I'm actually curious how you ended up with this particular one.
Yeah, well, it was because Julia Vinograd, my mentor, was with this particular publisher. He is a sort of a cooperative publisher. I mean, but Bruce Isaacson runs the press, but he works with other people. Julia edited books for the press for a long time. There's a very fine poet named David Golub who typeset a lot of the books. And they were a group of poets in the Bay Area, kind of descendants of the Baby Beats. They called themselves the Babarians because they read at the Cafe Babar in the Mission in San Francisco. And she sent my first chapbook to Zeitgeist Press. And I found that Bruce gave me so much attention as an editor and publisher, attention that I never would have gotten in a larger press or mm-hmm. in a mainstream press. And, you know, there are a number of people in the press who are queer or who are former sex workers or whatever, but that's not the emphasis. The emphasis is small press poetry, Bay Area writers mostly and Las Vegas writers. And I just, once I was there, I didn't want to leave because of the attention that I get to my work. It's really special.
That's great. Yeah, small presses have been really good, too, I think, the queer community as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot that have kind of sprung up in the last few years and some that have branched off from other ones. And because it can be really hard to get into mainstream publishing. I think my experience of that is that often, you know, if you are a person who's part of the LGBTQ community and you're mm-hmm. trying to get your work published, oftentimes, and it's about LGBTQ people or issues or situations, a lot of bigger publishers will say, that's too niche. We don't do that.
Yeah.
You know? So the small presses, it's even ones that aren't specifically for us, will often say, oh, yeah, sure, we'll take it. We'll branch out. We'll work with you.
And there's some really great presses out there, small presses with a queer focus, like Gertrude Press, Sibling Rivalry Press, Headmistress Press, which is a lesbian press, but has also published some beautiful books by bi women. They're wonderful. They're a great place to get nurtured.
Now, I couldn't name a small press to you, not offhand, but I've noticed that the best books I've read have been on small presses. And I think you must be allowed a lot more freedom and creativity.
Yeah, well, Zeitgeist Press is a nonprofit at this point, so they are about the work and not so much about making money, so they have more freedom to pursue other subjects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just this volume in particular, I was blown away by it. It's really good, and I'm not just saying that.
It's amazing. Yeah, I'm sorry, I haven't had a chance actually to write my review of it because it's been quite a week, but it is marvelous, and I would highly recommend it.
Oh, thank you so much, Amy. Thank you. I very much look forward to reading your review, and thanks to both of you for your attention. I'm really honored.
Oh, as are we.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anything else you'd like to share today before signing off?
Yes, I'd like to invite any listening BI poets who are on Facebook to join the Facebook group I moderate called BI Poets. We have 384 members, including many award-winning poets and writers, as well as emerging poets. And I'd also like to point writers to the BI Writers Association at biwriters.org, run by Sheila Lambert. And my book, Like Flesh Covers Bone, is available along with my other poetry books from the Zeitgeist Press website at www.zeitgeist-press.com. Zeitgeist is spelled Zeitgeist. And it will soon be available on Amazon as well. And you can find out more about my work, including a calendar of my upcoming readings in the San Francisco Bay Area, Santa Barbara, Las Vegas, and other cities at jansteckel.com. My last name is spelled Steckel.
I'm going to put all those links up for our listeners onto the website.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. And
yeah, thank you so much.
Well, thank you both for all the good work you do.
Yes,
it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. This was amazing. I really enjoyed myself today.
Thank you. Me too.
Me too.
All right. You are not wrong. You are not broken. And you are not alone. You are a human being. You are bisexual. And you have community. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
If you teach bird to sing, she gonna learn to fly. If you let her sing, she gonna fly. If you let her sing, she gonna fly away. If you teach a bird to sing,
transcription services provided by Bynes Transcript and Typing Services. Just say it, and we'll type it. As leaders in the transcription industry, it's their vision to help business owners reach their project goals for their organization or company by transcribing or providing general office support. They're transcribing what I'm saying right now. Their staff is readily available to assist. Order now and get up to 20% off of your first assignment. Regularly, 99 cents a minute. Celebrating 11 years in business. And thank you, Fran Bynes, for your volunteer activism. Find them at www.binestranscriptions.com.
The views expressed on the BiCast do not necessarily represent those of Binet USA or the BiCast crew.
Nip it back.